Guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with my boss, Scott Reynolds, and my subordinate, Mr. Trevor Sigma. Sigma.
That's about right.
Or Sigma. I don't know where that came from.
No, all things included. That's about right. Yeah, me being your subordinate.
I mean,
you messing up my name.
We're technically kind of.
I mean,
we've
only been working together for a year and a half. It's fine.
He's the assistant to the assistant editor in chief.
Okay.
Trevor Sigma.
Oh, wow. That's a title upgrade.
You like that?
That's a title upgrade.
That's right.
Last time I thought it was just lackey. Podcast equipment carrier, Trevor Sigma.
That's the only reason you're still employed here, by the way, is because you know how to run this equipment.
Notice how he hasn't taught us how to use the equipment at all.
No,
it's job security.
He's kept that like a
job security. Yeah, the man's a smart. He's no dummy for being a Gator.
Yeah. Peyton Barber's not going to teach Ronald Jones how to be good at running the ball. He's got a job to keep.
Ronald Jones is like, hey, Peyton, man, what was it like being a rookie? How'd you, you know?
I don't know.
I don't know.
No idea.
A long time ago.
My third year now, man.
You'll figure it out,
ago.
Kid.
Yeah.
Get back in the library.
Go to the library. There's a lot of stuff on that.
Well, we are, we're all giddy. Number one, I'm not telling any jokes today, by the way. I get hammered on Twitter.
No jokes?
Yeah,
no jokes. No lame jokes. No bad segues into our commercial sponsor.
Yeah.
None of that stuff.
We have yet to have a bad segue.
No.
Anybody who's
apparently
that.
According to Twitter, I'm lame. I try too hard, and my jokes just aren't funny.
Wow.
So, and I try and derail the podcast. Which, you know what? That's true. I honestly try and do that. I try and catch you guys when you least expect it with something, just to look at the expressions on your face.
That's the point of a podcast.
Yes. Unfortunately, though, no one can see the expressions on your face, so it's kind of lost
in
translation.
You've got to keep the listeners
there.
On your toes.
The one thing people don't understand, and I'm just going to pull back the curtain a little bit, is we actually have teleprompters. This has all been scripted and written out.
Scripted out.
I don't know if I'm giving away too much here. Yes, exactly.
Hours and hours writing this. I mean,
yes. Because it even says right there, Mark interrupts Scott right there, like in parentheses, and you did that right on cue.
Mark makes inappropriate comment.
Yep.
Take two.
We're actually on take three, which is the very first time in the history of the Pewter Nation podcast we've had a take three.
You guys have been on for 3 minutes and 7 seconds and I haven't heard
any
football.
Really, really bad Uncle Stan impression.
Well, we don't know if Uncle Stan's even Uncle Stan
anymore. We don't know.
He may be Angel Stan.
Yeah, we might have a recurrence of Uncle Stan, from what I understand.
We need to bring Uncle Stan back.
Yeah, we might have.
Just like the Buccaneers have brought.
It's a contract.
Vita Vea back.
There
That's
it
right.
is. Hey. There it is. The buildup.
Talk
was
about my
how
transitions
there
are lame.
That was good.
People.
Along with his defensive partner in crime, Brent Grimes, back in the practice field.
All right, does Vea play this week?
No.
He's dressed. Yeah, I think he plays.
Do you think he plays?
Sure.
You think
he plays? He's good enough to practice this week. He'll be good enough to play on
Let's
Sunday.
Let's see how limited he was. We saw him out there on Thursday.
Okay.
We saw him out there and warming up a little bit, doing a little bit of stuff. We'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, hopefully he doesn't have any other setbacks. But they asked Mike Smith. I say they. We. I didn't personally, but somebody in the media group asked Mike Smith. You know, is there some plays? Could you get him out there? In other words,
right?
And he
said, absolutely. What we're asking now, like when we see him for the first time, will you play him right away? Will he play the same week that he comes out to practice for the first time? And that was obviously before practice actually started, and we didn't even know that Bay was going to be out there.
Right.
But he said,
"Yeah,
he said absolutely."
You know, absolutely.
He said absolutely.
And that's what I'm saying. If you're good enough to practice health wise, I think you're good enough to play in the game.
I don't know if I believe that. I don't know because. 2 weeks ago, I was thinking
about
this.
Practice makes perfect, Trevor.
That's true.
It's,
it does.
Okay. You're right. Vita's perfect. The perfect
no,
draft pick.
You know who is perfect? Ryan Fitzpatrick. Keep talking.
Okay. I said a couple weeks ago, I don't even expect the first week that Vea gets back to be the week that he actually plays, but Mike Smith said otherwise.
I think
so,
he's
going to
get a sack
know.
On Monday night. His first game because, listen.
What?
Whoa.
What?
I'm calling the sack.
You lost your mind. Holy cow.
Listen.
A sack.
Do I have to remind you that I called the DeSean Jackson touchdown on the very first play. You still owe me $5 from Sunday,
no,
by the way.
Trevor owes you $5 because I made him a bet earlier today. So
yeah, you missed that shot.
I know. I tried to make something in the trash can and I missed it.
If they get us a sack, are you kidding me?
I'm telling
based
you.
Based on what?
Vita Vea is going to get a sack in this.
How?
You better victory,
how?
Wrap, you better lap the crap out of that if that happens.
Yeah. Listen,
you better have
I
the
predicted
gifts.
The 2-0 start for the Buccaneers. I don't know another media member that has predicted a 2-0 start for the Buccaneers. I have predicted,
that
Ryan Fitzpatrick would get not just one, but two NFC Offensive Player of the Week awards, which has happened.
Well, that was really difficult after throwing for 400 yards twice.
Listen,
to go out on a limb there with that prediction.
The very first week, I was concerned that Aaron Rodgers on the national television
should have got it. He was robbed.
Was going to get a Willis Reed moment.
Absolutely.
And going to get that award. So,
well, all right.
So you're saying a sack?
A sack.
Yes, he's going to get a
sack. Does he start?
Vita Vea doesn't get
a sack
all year, much less in this first game back.
You don't think Vea gets – this podcast is
– No, he doesn't get a sack all year.
I got smoke coming out of this podcast machine.
All right, how many sacks does Vita Vea get this year? If he plays the remainder of the season, how many does he get?
He's 3.5 sacks. First
if
one,
he plays the remainder of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Two.
He's getting 3.5.
Two maximum.
Don't go back on it now.
No,
don't be a coward now. Make the statement. Stand by it.
But what we'll get is a lot of.
I'm going to make
the
title of this podcast.
Mark
Cook says Vita Vea is going to get no sacks.
Yeah. He got the quarterback off his spot and he created disruption.
He's
got
to catch up to Derwin James in terms of the sack department. So he's going to come out here raring to go in week three and get a sack of Ben Roethlisberger.
You know who would be tied for first on this team in sacks if they played for this team?
Derwin James.
Derwin James, exactly. Yeah, and pass breakups and kick returns. Anyway, we won't keep going there. Vita Vea, we may see Vita Vea Monday night finally against the Steelers, and Scott is predicting a sack.
I have a question,
Scott's
though.
Nuts.
With Brent Grimes, I just wanted to bring this up because somebody actually brought this up earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they hope Brent Grimes plays this week because of Antonio Brown.
Right.
Right? That's why people were saying that they hope he's back. But the thing is, the Steelers just move Antonio Brown everywhere.
And Brent Grimes, don't move Brent Grimes anyway.
I would actually be shocked if there were more than like
a handful of plays.
Like eight plays total where Grimes was even guarding Antonio Brown with what we've seen in the past. Now, I will say this. Last game, and I pointed this out to you in the press box,
mm-hmm.
normally how the Bucs defense works is they don't like to change things too much. So let's say – I'm going to try to paint a visual here for people. Let's say they're in 11 personnel
mm-hmm.
with one tight end, one running back, and then two wide receivers to the left.
Right.
Would that be 11? Or would it have to be 12 personnel?
No, if it's two wide receivers. And
yeah, two wide receivers. Yeah, yeah, okay.
You
so I got
you
that
need
right.
another tight end.
So basically, I'm saying
back.
That there's two wide receivers to the left side.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, the corner that is on the opposite side of the field does what? He just, like, walks down to, like, where the line of scrimmage
to
is on his side
on
of the field
side,
to play
correct.
Contain. And then either a linebacker or one
safety.
Of the safeties
yeah.
from that side comes down and plays the other wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
That's normally what the Bucs have been doing. But last week, I saw them in that exact scenario. Carlton Davis, who was on that right side, rotated all the way over and just stuck with him as mm-hmm. if it was going to be like a true man coverage, not just a man coverage and somebody rotates down to play man on him.
Exactly.
Talking like true man coverage, hey, mm-hmm. you are guarding Nelson Agholor on this play wherever he goes. And we see a lot less and less of that in the NFL. And so
agreed.
That's the only way that Brent Grimes would have more than a handful of snaps.
And here's
against,
the thing. If you're the Steelers,
against, Antonio Brown.
Do you want to put Antonio Brown on there or do you want to go for the mismatch with Juju Smith-Schuster,
oh, yeah,
the bigger guy, on Brent Grimes?
Yes. The Bucs' corners are small.
Look,
yes.
The Steelers think every one of these cornerbacks is a mismatch against those two receivers.
Well, yeah, but you can
Bucks
create more of
great
those
on paper,
size
so.
Mismatches by putting Antonio Brown on Carlton Davis, quicker, faster versus big, physical guy, and then Juju Smith-Schuster, physical guy, on smaller Brent Grimes.
If Carlton Davis has got to play against – actually, it doesn't matter. I could have literally said any corner on the Bucs' roster against Antonio Brown, and it's not going to end well. They just have to hope – honestly, they've just got to hope that the catches that Brown might be able to get aren't going to end up in touchdowns.
You have to wonder, too. I think Carlton Davis is going to play, but does he start, though? Ryan Smith, who
That's
I wrote about
point.
And
good
got kind of trashed for saying, oh, gosh, Ryan Smith sucks. Okay, well, I was only saying what I'm hearing from coaches, from the front office, et cetera, about mm-hmm. the play of Ryan Smith is it is greatly improved. And he went out there and showed it on Sunday. And, you know, I hate to say it, but it's like Ryan Smith, if that's the Ryan Smith from last Sunday that plays on Monday night, then he might be your starter because of the experience opposite Brent Grimes. And he has the speed to try to keep up with an Antonio Brown, whereas Carlton Davis, that's not his forte.
He'll get cooked technically, though. You know, it's like
Antonio Brown makes a lot of people look bad.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Yeah.
That's almost like do you think they have to go into it? Is it realistic? Is it a realistic game plan for defensive coordinators to go in and be like, look, this guy's just going to beat us. We've got to make sure that we got our P's and Q's
it's almost like
is that a thing?
It's almost like Michael Jordan rules.
Yes. Some people say, like, it's easy for us to say that, but do you think a defensive coordinator actually goes in and says something like that?
Yes. They may not say it out loud to their players, but, I mean, amongst the staff, I would imagine they're saying, look, we don't have anybody on this team that can cover this guy. We're going to have to just try and contain him, keep him out of the end zone, and hope we get some turnovers.
He might get his 100, but it can't be 150 or it can't be 200. It can't be one of those just take-off games where, like, he's in another orbit. Another realm, if you will. You have to sit there and say, okay, pencil him for 100, but let's make him get that 100 on 7 catches, nothing over the top, et cetera, where...
Well, I mean, the perfect example is Buccaneers could not cover Michael Thomas against the Saints. He had a Saints record for number of receptions.
Yeah, good point.
You know, had close to 200 yards, whatever it was, and they won. I mean, so... You know, that sometimes that has to be the game plan. There's
it was
some kind of
crazy because Thomas and Kamara went off.
Yeah.
And they still won.
Right. They scored 40 points.
That was, that's hard to.
It just goes to show you that this offense right now is carrying the defense. I think the biggest thing we saw, though, in week two was the improvement on the defensive side of the ball, not just in the secondary.
Yeah, the defense didn't.
But the pass rush.
The offense didn't carry him at all times on Sunday. I went back and watched that game again this week.
But they got a 27-7 lead, though. They jumped out to a lead.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, and I was wanting to ask Mike Smith this. I didn't ask him this because I didn't really know how to word it. And so, try not to ask it. The question is going to sound really dumb, and everybody listening to this is saying, well, you sound really dumb right now because you're going to ask it. And it may. But, you know, do the Buccaneers does their scheme – and I still have trouble wording this. Yeah. Look, they've had two games.
Just read the teleprompter, Mark. Read the teleprompter.
Oh, there it is.
We already written this out.
Scott and Trevor, do you guys think that the Buccaneers game plan to close out games is to just give up yards but try and milk the clock, and if it's close, that's okay? Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Somewhat. Yeah. I mean, prevent defense – exists as much as I,
but they were there was no true prevent defense except on that very last play with the Eagles when they had Mike Evans as a deep guy. But were they playing soft coverage? Were they saying, okay, let him catch the ball, keep him in bounds, burn out the clock? Because two times now that strategy has almost come back to kind of bite him in the rear a little bit too. So
sucks, but
you can't let him just score on one play. In other words, if they are going to score, you want to milk the clock and make them chew the clock.
I just wonder, like, what it's like a what comes first thing. Like, you can
chicken or the egg,
right? We've all watched enough football games to know that at the end of a game, like let's say 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, for whatever reason, offense always ramps up.
It just
They don't have the lead, right? I mean, you just assume they're going to march it down. They're going to get close. They might get a field goal. How often do we see nowadays like a defense truly
blitz,
end the game?
Yeah.
Like, end the game. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, stop, make the stop, end the game. We just don't see that a lot because I think offenses are obviously a lot better. But we also see most of the defenses, like Mark is saying, basically you play off. Basically, you're like, okay, just keep running. Like, keep running the clock. We're going to try to keep you out of bounds. You can get all the completions you want. You can get down to the end zone. Mm-hmm. And I guess it depends what the score is, obviously, because that has a big deal into how many yards you give up. But I guess my question is, if you played normal defense.
Yes.
Would it look different?
Well, normal
and I feel like it would.
Yeah, absolutely.
Normal defense, though, it does include your periodic blitzes and all that. And every time you blitz, you're creating one-on-one situations. And like the Buccaneers, when they've been blitzed, they've gotten touchdowns off those. Peyton Barber has been the unsung hero of the offense by picking up blitzes. And he did that on the first DeSean Jackson touchdown in New Orleans. He did that on the first play of the game because I paid him $5. I knew I was going to win the bet. So I bet Mark $5 that they were going to get a touchdown the first play they did.
MyCookie.ag.
And once I get that $5 from you, I'm going to pay Peyton because I said, you need to pick up the blitz. and Walter get this Payton. Touchdown here.
Good
yeah,
idea.
I think that's not allowed, but it's all right.
Well, yeah. I haven't paid it yet, so really there's been no laws broken, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
but,
I'm pretty sure
he really has been
be frowned on. He's frowned upon.
He's really been the, I think, the unsung hero. We haven't seen the touchdowns from him. We haven't seen the 100-yard games. We haven't seen a lot of production. But whether it's him or Jacquizz Rodgers, they've been doing the job picking up the blitzes. So back to your point, yes, I don't think that they blitz a lot in those situations because you can get the quick touchdown, and then all of a sudden you're letting the other team back in the game with plenty of time left.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of bets, I bet nobody would know that Scott Reynolds has a tattoo on his body.
That could be a good bet, yeah.
So go to a website that we like to frequent.
Mybookie.ag.
Yes, mybookie.ag.
Can I bet on if Scott has a tattoo?
That could be.
Am I not allowed to do that because it's insider betting?
Yeah, you probably can't do it. You're probably disqualified.
Yeah. No. All right, so mybookie.ag, not mycookie.ag, but completely out of business. Lasted 1 week. Folded, bankrupt.
You had a $5 investor, and they somehow
they took you to the cleaners.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, I got no funds to back it up.
Did you win big this weekend? Did you play this weekend?
I did.
Did I?
Doesn't
sound good. He's not bragging.
Let's see. Somebody picked the Buccaneers to win again.
Oh, okay.
And did pretty well in college football. I went softer this week on some of my bets. I think I won $35 total. Including on
you went ahead and secured your family's future. Good.
Yeah.
Go ahead and retire now.
Yeah, I think I'm up $50 or something for the. No, ooh. Actually, probably, no. I got to be up 60.
No,
65
yeah, you're
bucks.
A lot. You're a lot higher than that.
Yeah. Yeah. So
just climbed another tax bracket.
I know. So I'm actually sticking with the Buccaneers big time.
You're just gonna keep betting them until they burn you.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
It's coming.
Well, yeah, it's coming, but I'm still gonna be up and ahead. I've also I went heavy on West Virginia against Kansas State this week.
Wow.
And I also went heavy on Mississippi State versus Kentucky. Actually did a parlay on mybookie.ag.
Which side? Kentucky or Mississippi State?
Mississippi State.
Oh, okay.
They're gonna win. So and
Dan Mullen's team, Mississippi State.
No.
No, not anymore.
No. They got this new guy. I think he was the offensive coordinator at Penn State.
Legitimately have no idea.
Yeah, he's really good. That's a very good team. That's very good. So
probably better than Willie Taggart.
But listen, if you want to put your money where your mouth is, like I have, go to mybookie.ag. Mm-hmm. And the best part about it is there's no such thing as free monies, right, fellas? Free money? Yeah, free money exists. And I'll tell you how you get it.
There's a tree out back. Back of my house, there's a tree.
The money tree?
My son thinks so.
Okay, there's two ways to get free money. Go to Mark Cook's house, grab some bills off the money tree, which I think Douglas has probably picked pretty well.
No, it's pick clean.
Or you can go to mybookie.ag, mention the promo code Pewter, P-E-W-T-E-R, from this Pewter Nation podcast, and they're going to match your initial deposit up to $1,000.
So how
you
much?
Put in $200, they're going to give you $200. You got $400 to play with.
No. Yep. What if you put $400 in?
You're going to have $800. That's just how it works.
Wait a second. Now Pewter. You're telling me if you put $800 in, you're going to get $1,600?
I think it's up to $1,000.
Wow.
That's the rules. I don't make the rules. Don't hate.
Well, if it's 800, then up to 1,000 would be another 800. I think you're good. I think you'd have 1,600.
I don't know if it's $1,000.
Maximum in your
I'm just sticking to the script, so
right,
I'm just
well.
Reading that. But listen, mybookie.ag, I've had a ton of fun. Started last year with college football. I do really well there. And listen, whether you're betting the point spread, whether you're betting the money line, where you can bet over and under, they've got prop bets there, as Mark Cook said. I don't know about my tattoo or not, but whether it's college football, baseball, NBA coming up, NHL coming up, or NFL, they've got you covered. MyBookie.ag, promo code Pewter will double your initial deposit.
All right, that is MyBookie.ag. We appreciate them being a sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Bucks in Pittsburgh Monday night. Scott, we were looking a little bit earlier. Buccaneers have been on Monday Night Football. How many times? Drum roll, please. We don't have one. How many times?
Oh, I don't know. I forgot.
23.
23 times.
23 times in their 42 and a half year history.
And they are
it is.
What?
Pretty good.
No, do we know the record?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's.
I don't remember that either.
12 or 13 and 9 or 10, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. They have a winning record on Monday Night Football.
Nice. Right?
They do.
Very first Monday Night Football game, Trevor. When was that? What year?
Don't know.
Guess. We'll do the Price is Right game.
79?
I'll go higher or lower. I thought Trevor do this.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You're not Trevor.
Say 79, Trevor.
I was gonna. I was actually gonna say 70.
Higher.
What?
Higher.
79.
Higher.
85.
Lower.
82.
Lower.
81.
85.
Lower.
80.
80, got it.
My gosh. Took me forever to get there.
Gosh, definitely not going to win the refrigerator now. you don't have enough time left.
So we asked all the players.
Avocado green refrigerator.
Of course, yeah.
We asked all the players in the locker room, like, oh, yeah, Monday night game. Like, you guys get excited for this? And almost all of them, other than Mike Evans, because Mike Evans actually speaks his mind, almost all of them were like, nah, it's just another game. That's BS, right?
It's
got to
be.
That's 100% BS.
Yes.
It's got to be.
You know why? Because they like to sleep in. They get to sleep in if it's Monday night. On Monday?
I think they just enjoy that it's a primetime game.
Oh, well, yeah, that too.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
Mike Evans is literally the only person in the locker room that we asked today, which is Thursday. Like, hey, big Monday night football game. You excited for a Monday night game? And he's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. We love primetime games.
Yeah.
And like everybody else, JPP, Vinnie Curry, I can't remember if he asked Donovan Smith, but they were just like, nah, I don't care. It's just another game.
Yeah,
no,
that's
it's
BS.
Not. Shut up.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
Well, you know, though.
Just like be real about it. Come on.
Yes,
I'm excited for Monday night football.
Yes.
We get to kick ass in front of the entire world and let them know the Buccaneers are here. How
but
hard is
are
that to say?
You,
exactly.
Are you excited about Monday night football, Trevor?
Am I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to leave the stadium before I am.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
You know, these guys wait around all day.
You guys
long
act like I don't go to bed like before 3 anyways.
Well, that's true. It's a good point. So we're just going to have him write all the stories, and me and you are going to leave since the game's over.
Yeah, exactly.
No. That ain't going to happen. But I just like –
I love Monday Night Football until, like, it's over. And then right from when it's over, I hate it, like, with a passion.
Yeah.
I do. And the worst, though, was actually in 2003, the Buccaneers had this massive lead. This was Dungy versus Gruden. This was coming off the Super Bowl, and Dungy had his Colts. It was actually on Tony Dungy's birthday. The Peyton Manning show.
Oh.
Yeah. And everybody, newspaper guys included, and see, we don't have deadlines per se, but you got to get the paper out, right?
Yeah.
So the Times and the Tribune guys, they were freaking out because the game, the Buccaneers had a massive lead. The Colts came back.
They had already written the story.
And then it goes into overtime. You're talking about a Monday night overtime game that probably didn't get over to what, 12:30, maybe 12:45.
Back then, Monday night football didn't kick off till 9 a.m.
It's like deadline.
Literally, Monday night football started at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
because when I was a kid, that happened to be my bedtime. So until I made it to junior high, I never got to watch a Monday night football game.
You didn't even know Monday night football.
I got to hear
existed.
Howard. But I did because
that was
I left my door open. I would listen to Howard Cosell and Dandy Dunn and those guys.
That was actually me with Monday Night Raw, like WWE.
Oh yeah,
because Thursday Night SmackDown would come on at 8, so I would get to watch like almost all of Thursday Night SmackDown. But like for Raw Monday nights, I get to watch like 15 minutes of it. Like it wouldn't matter.
Let's just be honest. Give Trevor some advice. You know, when you're a kid, your parent, you say, "What? I got to go to bed at 9 o'clock because, son, you're young and you need 12 hours of sleep or 11 hours or 10 hours." You know what it is? That's not true. When I became a parent, I realized bedtime was a time that I could finally relax and I have to deal with a kid. Like my son's bedtime initially was like 4 p.m. Granted, he would wake up like at 9:30 and then be up all night, so I had to adjust.
It's basically whenever you want to hear your kid just shut the hell up.
Yeah,
that's
you need
is.
A break from a kid. Yeah. That's their bedtime.
Parents, I'm taking notes.
Yeah,
I'm taking
very
notes
good.
Over here.
8:45. God, Ellie and Logan, it's time for bed. Holy smokes, y'all have tests tomorrow. Get out of here. Go
get some sleep right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know why we're talking about that. Oh, we were back to when the Buccaneers, their first Monday night game was against. Okay, now we're going to, I want you to rank the teams the Buccaneers played in Monday night football from A to Z. I'm just kidding. I don't want you to do that. Guess who they played on their very first Monday night game. We can't go high and low on this.
Yeah.
Is it the Steelers?
No. The Bears, 1980. They lost 23-0 at Soldier Field.
Yikes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Not good.
Yikes.
All right, so anyway, that's your brief Monday Night Football history. The Buccaneers taking on the Steelers.
If you were the Buccaneers players,
mm-hmm.
would you be scared of the Steelers?
Oh, I'm scared. I'm absolutely scared of the Steelers.
Would
I would
be?
Rather
yeah,
the Steelers
definitely.
Be 2-0
or at least
than 0-1-1.
So you were scared because of the situation,
yeah,
yes.
not because of the Steelers.
Wounded dog, man. The wounded dog backed into a corner is the most dangerous.
I think
animal.
If only that
yes.
was true last year, right?
I think on paper.
This team.
They were a wounded dog. They
wounded
just took
dog.
A nap.
It just kept wounding it.
I think on
never got up.
I think on paper, the Steelers have a lot of holes. And I don't think that the Buccaneers. I think the Buccaneers.
I just don't think that.
But boy, what they're good at, they're really, really, really good,
yeah.
though.
But I think watching this film, they see some holes in some areas that can be exploited. Yeah. But the problem is that's film from the first 2 weeks, and I think the Steelers team that comes out on Monday night is going to be emotionally charged, hungry, desperate, et cetera, and they're going to give them everything they got.
Yeah, I mean, they're good at what they are good at, you know, having an overweight quarterback, having a pissed-off running back. Overdrafting safeties in the first round.
Receivers that don't come to work on Monday.
You know, they're good
at that. It's a very, very dysfunctional team right now. I was watching a lot of the pundit shows yesterday, and that was really the topic of, I don't remember which one it was, the one with Stephen A. Smith. First Take, is that it?
I think, yeah, he's still on First Take.
Yeah. And, you know, that was the big
thing.
Skip
Bayless is undisputed.
And there was a lot of, you know, a lot of talk about how dysfunctional this team is. And there was a question mark, has Mike Tomlin lost this locker room? Because you've got Roethlisberger speaking out, and you've got Le'Veon Bell still at home, and Antonio Brown not showing up.
Skipping a day.
You know, and their determination was, you know, of course, Stephen A. Smith said, no, absolutely not. And Kellerman thought maybe they had, and they had another guest on who said, absolutely, he's lost this locker room. But for some reason, when it comes to Sundays and or Monday nights, I think they're going to get their act together, and for those 3 hours, they're going to be a pretty unified bunch because they are still a really good football team.
I think there's something to the phrase, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Because I think Mike Tomlin's a damn good coach, yep. And I really do, and I think that he's been a damn good coach for a long time. Mm-hmm. But complacency can be something that really messes with your head, mm-hmm. And if you've had the same guy in there, the same voice, the same everything for a long time, you could sometimes convince yourself that things are worse than they actually are.
Right.
And like I could see the Steelers holding Tomlin somewhat accountable for these little things, like players acting up, things that happen everywhere around the league.
Yeah.
And if like Mike Tomlin was like in his third year as head coach, fourth year as head coach, maybe none of this stuff matters. But because Mike Tomlin's been the head coach for, I don't even know how long Mike Tomlin's been the head coach, but it's been forever 19, with Steelers.
27.
Maybe, I mean, you could convince yourself like, oh, you know, maybe it's, you know, we haven't won a Super Bowl in a long time. Maybe it's time to switch things up.
And they will if this team continues down the path that they are on. I mean, if they don't make the playoffs this year, I think you very well could see Roethlisberger retire. He's been talking about that.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell's probably going to be gone.
Yeah.
I could see them completely cleaning house, starting over.
I was telling somebody earlier this week.
Because they've underachieved, because they've been perennial AFC favorites, them and the Patriots, for years now. Yeah. And they've really kind of underachieved
the
last few years.
Patriots are the team that just beats them every time.
Right.
Right.
No, I was having this conversation with somebody today, you know, and even in the locker room, every time we brought up the Steelers to a lot of these Bucs players, the first thing that they think of is like, oh, this is a historic team. Like, the Steelers are just historically good. When you think about the Steelers, you think about good football. That's just what you do. I mean, Vinnie Curry, we basically asked him, like, what are you expecting from this Steelers team? And he brought up the background of the franchise, and it's like, that has nothing to do with the team that they're going to play on Monday. Like, nothing. But that's the thing that's in the back of everybody's mind.
Yeah. So essentially, it does have something to do with it, because this aura that's in the heads of the current guys,
but
of the game.
But the thing is, like,
Steeler franchise,
you're not going to play against Terry Bradshaw out there. You know, you're never going to play against Bubby Brister or Mark Malone either. You know what I'm saying?
You may play against Rocky Blyer,
perhaps.
Go ahead.
You ever listen to that kind of talk and be like, that should be the Buccaneers, like after they won the Super Bowl and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they should, like, they had the opportunity to almost, like, set up a dynasty.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I remember.
And it just absolutely,
I remember my
crumbled.
Jaw dropping when I interviewed Rondé Barber. This is, like, back in probably 2004, 2005. And I was doing, like, a Pewter Report conversation with him. And I asked him, like, just quick word association. I threw out some names. I threw out Tony Dungy. And the first words out of his mouth were, missed opportunity. And I was like, what? Hold on. Expand on that. And he's like, yeah. Like, if you look at our window for the Super Bowl was like 1998
expand
to
or
2000.
Expound?
Expand? Okay. I'm expanding the
what is expound? Point.
Expound
mean?
Upon.
Yeah.
Like, to
so did I use the wrong word?
I don't know. That's a legitimate question.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to choose
he's
expand.
He's expanding the knowledge, or he can expound upon it.
I mean, he's a college graduate in the room.
I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say expand. I'm going to expand my
–
the range of the question, which was, Rondé, like, what do you mean? And he said, yeah, our window was from 1998 to 2003. And we got to the Super Bowl once, and thankfully we won it, but we had plenty of years where we were good enough to make the Super Bowl.
Well,
not,
you know
not
what,
offensively,
Scott, if this team would have got together and did some bonding and went and had some burgers together, they probably would have won more than one Super Bowl.
And you know why they didn't? Because there wasn't a Ford's Garage Tampa.
That's
the
problem. That was the problem that this community saw.
We're not going to blame it on Ford's Garage because they weren't in existence.
No, they're here to solve the problem now.
I'm going to name the podcast Tony Dungy Needed
Ford's Garage. Yeah. No, he did. He absolutely needed Ford's Garage. Because the Ford's Garage is a place you can go with your friends, your coworkers, probably even your enemies. Mm-hmm. In fact, Mike Tomlin and Le'Veon Bell should probably go to Ford's Garage while they're in town this weekend, have a beer, have a burger.
Le'Veon's not going to be in town this weekend.
Yeah.
Getting ready to be a Buccaneer after the trade.
There you go.
God, could you imagine this team with Bell, too, this offense? Anyway, Ford's Garage is the place to go for your business lunches. Scott, we've had plenty of business lunches as well. It's a great family atmosphere. Take the kids. Take grandma, take grandpa. They'll remember the old Model T Fords hanging from the thing. We made you in the back seat of one of those, honey. I'm just saying, Ford's Garage is a great place. It's a great family restaurant.
Dad, is that why I'm called Thunderbird? Is that why my name is Thunderbird?
Your name's Ford Fairlane. But yes, there's a lot of reasons to go to Ford's Garage, to learn your family history. You never know what you're going to find at Ford's Garage. What you do know is you're going to find
the beer.
Go there for the beer. I go there for the salmon. Trevor goes there for the high octane burger.
What if there was a salmon beer? Would you
No. I eat some weird things, IPAs, but I don't think I could do that. No salmon beer for me.
Nobody has accepted the challenge yet, I don't think, unless I missed it.
What?
Here you go. You order the nachos. You take a picture of it. You eat the whole thing. And then you tweet it at us, and we give you a follow. I don't think anybody.
No one did that. We did give away the gift card, though. We want to thank everybody who entered that contest and hashtag PR. Podcast, we were able to give away a $50 Ford's gift card, and we'll be doing that later on in the year, so listen for your chance to win. But check out Ford's Garage all throughout the area. Chad, how do you say that name, Scott? I can't pronounce it. I'll take my glasses off for a second. Chris won.
Delnista.
Crad. Is it Chad or Chris?
Chad.
Chad.
Chad Delnista. Just read the teleprompter. It's on
there. Oh, yes. There it is. Okay. Sorry. Chad. Chad won, and he is the winner of the $50 gift card. We appreciate him listening to the Pewter Nation podcast. Thank you so much, and we will be getting that gift card in the mail to you very, very soon, along with your penny, because we offered you a discount.
Not doing that.
Okay, well, you're getting a $50 gift card. That's better than a penny. But check out Ford's Garage all throughout the Tampa Bay area, even up in Michigan and all the way down south in Estero. Talk to Darius Taylor today. The Ford's Garage Live Pewter Nation podcast will be coming up later this month in October. We're working out a date on that. It's going to be a Monday night. So if you're in the Polk County area, make sure you come by, say hey to Darius Taylor, and join us for the Pewter Nation podcast.
They might know we'll have more details on that. Those parts of town is Darius Glanton coming out through high school.
Yeah, they're going to be like, man, you're Glanton. Don't give us this fancy big city Tampa stuff.
Yeah.
You're Glanton. You'll always be Glanton. But Darius Taylor. Good dude. He always checks on Douglas's progress as a linebacker, so I appreciate him. A few more minutes left in this podcast, guys. You want to go predictions now? We're going to wait.
Cam Brate will get a catch.
Get out of here.
Cam Brate is going to get a catch.
Yeah, what did Cam have to say today? I wasn't in that scrum.
They basically asked him, like, hey, bro, you haven't caught a single pass
yet.
He's
like, Jameis Winston's been suspended, folks. That's all I can say.
No, I heard him say, my checks are still clearing. That's okay.
True. Yeah.
Okay. He didn't say that.
I'm getting paid $7 million this year
to catch
zero passes.
He didn't say that, but he could have.
That's what I would say.
He could have. Yeah. He said that the answer that you figure Cam would give, he said, we're just waiting for our opportunities. Some games, the game plan is going to be different than others. And he said, he's like, we're not like stressing about it. Like, this is fun. Like, this is fun to be a part of the team and watch the guys, do everything that they've been doing. And he said,
I think Cam said,
Trevor, would you rather be a 100 catch, 1,200 yard receiver on a 5-11 football team?
Yes.
Or would you rather be, I knew he was going to answer that. Or would you rather be a 30 catch, 475 yard receiver on a 12 win football team?
No. First one.
Yeah. Thought so. What about you, Scott?
I want to win because I want those Super Bowl rings. Don't want the playoff game checks.
Now I'm with Trevor. I need the contract. I need that big second deal.
Jacket.
I want the money.
I want the gold jacket.
You want the gold jacket.
I
want
to go to Cam.
Well, but the thing is, Cam has already got the money. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's
so if Cam gets 30 catches, who cares? But I'll say this: when Jameis Winston comes back at some point this season, I think Jameis Winston is not going to go the entire year without starting. It's not going to happen against the Chicago Bears.
No, he'll be starting for the Bills in a couple weeks.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
What? Did I say that out loud?
Did you say for the Bears? Starting for the Bears?
You know what the craziest part about that is? Wow. Do you think the Bills have literally anything that is worth Jameis Winston's trade?
I'm just trying to think of the worst quarterback team in the league.
We'll give you
right
Josh
now.
Allen and a draft pick for Jameis Winston.
No, Jameis Winston for Le'Veon Bell, straight up. Who says no?
I would take that. I would
Pittsburgh?
Do it. I would
yeah.
do it
oh, yeah.
tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, for the heir apparent to
That's what I'm saying. That's yeah. what I'm saying. And yeah. Le'Veon's gone in a year.
Yeah,
and we know Pittsburgh doesn't mind trouble quarterbacks, and I'm not trying to be funny about that. I'm really not. Yeah, I mean, no. that is an organization.
Roethlisberger weathered the storm up there. There's no doubt about it. That's factual. But I'll say this.
It's not happening, folks. Just saying. When Jameis comes back, y'all are going to freak out, listen to his podcast, and then tweet at us.
When Jameis Winston comes back at some point in time, Cameron Brate's going to be a very, very happy man. Cam Brate, listen, he had 7 catches, which was tied for 2nd in the preseason, only behind Justin Watson, who's been inactive every game. Trying to find a spot for him, but
probably the greatest thing Trevor Sikkema has ever said was last podcast when we asked why isn't Cam Brate getting any catches, and he said because the guy in front of him is better.
It's true,
and it's just true. That's just all there is to it. It's true.
But when Jameis comes back, Cam will be getting catches all of a sudden. Poof, abracadabra! It's going to happen.
Well, that would be foolish.
I don't think so.
I do.
I really don't.
I mean, that would be why.
Because
he's got to get on the field to do that. He's not even been on the field.
Yeah,
he's been on the field half the snaps.
He's been on half the snaps that OJ has gotten. I'm just saying, trust me, when Cam Brate is in the huddle, Jameis Winston's going to know that, and it's going to happen.
I think that's foolish.
If
Jameis tries to be like, I got to get Cam the ball. I got to get this
I'm
guy
not
the
saying
ball.
It's a good
Ryan
idea, Mark. I'm saying it's going to happen.
Right.
Okay? And Trevor and I were talking about this before open locker room today. You know, I posed the question.
Where was I?
You weren't here. You almost.
That can't be a mentality, though.
I understand, but the thing is we were talking. Would Jameis Winston be putting up these kind of numbers because he had a tremendous preseason? Mm-hmm. And you know, and I said I would not be surprised if Jameis Winston put up identical 400-yard passing days with 8 touchdowns. The difference would be he would have a couple of interceptions because he takes gambles that Fitzpatrick doesn't.
With you.
And I think some of those interceptions would come from forcing the ball to Cam or forcing the ball to Mike rather than what Fitzpatrick's doing.
And guess what? Just throwing the ball. If that's the case, then this football team is 1-1 or 0-2.
Right.
Because you look at how close both these games have been.
100%.
Yes. The Buccaneers have had, what, 1 turnover in 2 games?
It shouldn't have even been a turnover.
Exactly.
If OJ catches
but that's why I said in my little PR roundtable when we were discussing, hey, when does Jameis Winston come back? My little bold-faced answer was, will he? I don't know.
Right.
Because as long as his team is above 500, I think Fitzpatrick's the quarterback.
Agreed.
And the only way that you would take him out if they were above 500 is if they were winning in spite of him.
Correct.
But if
is
you
it
look
in
at this,
spite or despite of him?
No, it's in spite.
In spite.
I think it's despite
in
of
sprite,
him.
Like the soda.
Yes.
Yeah,
but the only way this team's going to stay above 500 is if Fitzpatrick's a catalyst.
Correct.
So therefore, if this team is 2-0 right now,
right.
For as long as they're above 500, Fitzpatrick's got to be the quarterback. That's what I think. The second they – James isn't going to start until after the bye week anyways. So technically they're going to be probably 6 games at least in.
Right.
Anytime from week 6 on, if they hit 500 – you can make an excuse to start Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
But as long as they are 1 or more games above 500 this entire season, you cannot
hold them.
I
said the exact same thing, and I said the catalyst for Winston coming back would be back-to-back losses. If they were at 500 with back-to-back losses, I think
then you pull them.
Then that's when Jameis Winston
started.
Which is still
know,
a short leash, but what are you going to do about
sure.
it?
Sure.
I want to know how the SS Minnow was able to go out on a 3-hour tour.
Weather the storm?
Well, they didn't weather the storm. That's the problem. They ended up with a hole in the side of the boat and on a deserted island for years.
Whoa.
I wonder how they were able to even pass Coast Guard inspection to not have some sort of communication beacon or radio on board.
I know what
to
they
be able
didn't
to notify
do.
The Coast Guard that they were lost at sea.
I know what they didn't do.
What?
They should have gone to T.A. Mahoney's to start with.
Exactly.
And I don't know if it was the skipper's fault or if it was the little buddies.
We wouldn't even have the show.
Hmm?
We wouldn't have even had the show.
That's okay. We'd be all right without that show. I think.
Speak for yourself.
I don't know. You know, the point is if you've got a boat, you need to be equipped because you never know when there's going to be a violent storm pop up when you're just out on a simple 3-hour tour.
A 3-hour tour.
You go to the dock, you meet some people. There might be a movie star.
There could
be a
professor.
A millionaire
couple.
And his wife.
Yeah.
and they've got crates and crates of money. Why they're toting all that money with them, I have no idea. Yeah. But anyway, because it was only a 3-hour
tour.
There could
be a hot girl from Kansas there, too.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the point is you just never know. And you don't want to be responsible and live on a deserted island and have to fight off cannibals, WW2 Japanese guys in submarines that show up.
Yep.
Amelia Earhart showed up at one point.
That's crazy.
I mean, there's a lot of people that showed up on this island, and they weren't able to get in touch with anybody. Why? Because they didn't go to T.A. Mahoney's. Why? And they didn't get any type of communication, radio.
No flares,
nothing like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that boat should have never been allowed to leave the docks.
Exactly.
Ever. But if you go to T.A. Mahoney's and you've got a boat and you need to get it equipped safely and with all the latest and greatest safety equipment, you go to T.A. Mahoney's. Mike and Matt and Mark and the whole staff there will take care of you. We promise you that. They are family-owned and operated. They're on 50th Street and Adamo. Adamo, also known as Highway 60, just between Brandon and the Tampa area. Been there since 1948. Good people, good family, and proud sponsors of the Pewter Nation podcast. Guys, real quick, we got to get out of here. Predictions for the game. All I want is a score. Trevor, go.
Wait, the score?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be 38-31 Bucks win.
Scott,
pass. Go ahead. I'm thinking
it's going to be a low scoring affair.
What?
It's going to be a 6-3 game in the first 4 minutes. No, it won't be 6-3 Buccaneers. I don't think Cannizzaro's got 2 field goals in him.
Wow.
I'm really down.
I thought you were going to say a touchdown and a missed extra point.
Yikes.
That's very possible. I think the Buccaneers lose by a missed extra point this week. No, I think the Buccaneers win this game, and I'm going to go with a 34-31 football game.
Are you kidding me? That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
All right, then I'm going to change mine to 35
okay.
to 33.
I'm going to say 34-31 Buccaneers.
Right. Everybody's in the 30s. Both scores in the 30s.
It's okay. The wave of the NFL these days.
Absolutely. For Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sikkema, I am Mark Cook saying so long until Sunday after the game. Actually, that's Monday after the game, where we will have a late night, early morning edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. Until then, we will see you later. We are out.